Amen, amen. Today's going to be a fun day, fun day. Y'all can take up the offering. It's going to be a fun day. I'm excited about what God's doing in our house. I'm thankful for this great crowd in the middle of the summertime. Look around, great crowd. Hadn't seen some of you this summer. I know you've been on vacation. Glad to see you today. And I'm believing God for his very, very best. I want to say that I'm thankful for my son-in-law. He brought it last week. Let's give him a hand. I listened to it online. He did a great job. I'm not going to be as short as him, so don't expect it. Not going to happen. And I'll just go ahead and let you know that ahead of time. Last service, I preached about one-third of my message, so that's probably what's going to happen today. But we're talking about serve the church. This is in our series today, On Your Mark. We're talking about serving the church. And I want to clarify a few things. What does it mean when we say serve the church? What does it mean when we say serve the church? I want to make it real clear, because it's easy to miss out on the kingdom of God when we get focused on serving the church. And serving the church really represents only what happens inside of this building. And that can bring just, you know, a lot of confusion to our mind, because when we say serving the church, we're really talking about serving the kingdom of God. How many know that the kingdom of God is much bigger than what we see here today? Can I get a better amen? Amen. And when we serve the church, we're serving the church at large. I don't desire, I know this is going to sound funny, but I don't desire to be the biggest church in town. But I desire to be the biggest church in town. Now, let me explain that to you. I don't desire to say, hey, we have the most people, we have the biggest building, we have that. But I desire that our footprint in this city touches every life of every believer and every lost person, and that we partner with all the churches that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when they have great success, that we know how to celebrate with them. And when they have trouble, we know how to cry with them. That we are part of the church of the living God. One of the worst things that's ever happened in the American church is that we are competing like we're McDonald's and Burger King. Let me tell you something, folks. We're not McDonald's and Burger King. We're the body of Christ. And God has created us for his purpose. And he created every individual as the church, as the people of God, as the kingdom of God. And when he created you to do something super amazing. Oh, pastor, you're about to pump us up. No, I'm about to preach to you the truth. I'm about to preach to you who God created you to be. And so when you understand who you are, then you love what you do. Can I get a better amen? Amen. How many love this house? You love this house? Come on. And you should love this house. And you know what? Look, if you love this house, then you already know that everything in this house is not perfect. Listen, somebody come to me one time and said, pastor, there's some things wrong with the church. I said, my list is bigger than yours. My list is bigger than yours. Because there is no perfect churches. As a matter of fact, if you find a perfect church, please don't go. You'll ruin it. Don't mess it up. But I can say that because there is no perfect church. As a matter of fact, I almost want to put a sign on the door. Listen, if you're perfect, you're not welcome. You're going to feel out of place, because we all got messes in our lives. Everybody in this house has got a mess in their life. And we came here with a mess, and we still have messes, and God's still working on us. We have not reached the full potential of God, and we won't till we hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I said this at the end, but I'm going to say it at the beginning. When we understand who we are and what we're called to do and what our purpose is, we don't have time to look at what's wrong, because we're busy doing what is right. Amen. Golf clap. There we go. Let me do it again. When we're busy doing what God has called us to do, we don't have all the distractions of what's wrong. Amen. Well, listen. If you're a spectator, you're going to see everything wrong. It's kind of like the person sitting in their living room in the air condition that's never worked out a day in their life, drinking a big tall glass of lemonade and telling the football team what they're doing wrong. You coaching and you don't even know how to play the game. Come on, somebody. Say, pastor's going to preach today. And we can sit around with a spectator, event-oriented thing, like church has become an event for us, and we come to church, and we've got our eyes open, and, you know, we're looking around. Man, they missed that lick on the worship team. They didn't sing that song right. You ain't singing. Shut up. You sitting there, boys, you was looking. I'm just going to tell y'all today, I'm crazy, so I'm just going to tell you. I'm not going to say anything today. Because we have this idea that we have been called to be spectators. God has not called anyone to spectate. He called everyone to be involved in his kingdom. And he created you with a purpose for his kingdom. Can I get a better amen? So when we start looking at what all God has for us, we can see the kingdom of God and we can see our purpose and our place. And so I want you to understand that what I'm going to talk about today is not serving Pastor Marvin. It's not serving just to be seen or heard, but it's serving a king who is so amazing. And look at, when you see a good king, this is what a good king does. A good king serves his people. That's what a good king does. And because a good king serves his people in the kingdom, the people of the kingdom love to serve the king. That's how it works. If the king of the kingdom is a taskmaster and he's a owner and he's a ruler, then the people become divided and the people become hurt and wounded and they shut down. Amen. But we serve a good king. Amen. We serve the kind of king that knows our need before we ever pray. We serve the kind of king that sees our future when we're stuck. We serve a king who believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. We serve a good king. Amen. And because we serve a good king, he loves us with this crazy, crazy kind of love. And in turn, we get an opportunity to advance and promote his kingdom. Amen. You know, here's what happens. When you serve and when you sit in the house and you're not doing what you're called to do, eventually, and it comes to pass that you lose your identity of who you are. The church was never, when I talk about the church here, let me just talk about the local, what we call church, because I don't want you to get the two confused, because I think the church is real big. But the local church was never created to create cookie cutters. Amen. Listen, y'all only need one person to preach like me. If I didn't have any, if all the other preachers that stood up here preached this just like me, I wouldn't need them to preach. God loves our diversity. Amen. If every singer was singing just alike, we would only need one singer. God never created us to be cookie cutter. God created us to fill the place that only you can fill, and the purpose only you can fill. You know what happens when people lose their identity? Here's what they're going to do. Pastor, I need to talk to you. What's going on? Well, you know, brother, I'm not getting fed. No, that's not the problem. I'm just going to say it. You're so fat, you can't walk. You're filled up on church, and there's no outgo. There's no pouring out. And so you've lost your identity of who God created you to be. When you know who you're created to be, you're busy. Now, let me just help y'all today, because I know what we've done in the church, so I have to deal with the church. We have created this environment that when we start talking about these things, our mind starts going to this awful word, which is not awful at all, W-O-R-K. Oh, God, here we go. Pastor's fixing to make us all work. So just to clear it out so y'all understand, I don't want nobody doing anything they don't want to do. I want everybody doing what they're called to do. I don't want anybody doing what they're not passionate about doing. Listen, if you're not passionate about it, you're going to be weak at it. And then you're going to be going like, hey, hello. We don't call anymore. We text. Planning center. Will you please come today? We don't have anybody else to work. We need you to do something you don't like doing. Well, that's motivation, right? But when you're passionate about who you are and what God's created you to be, you're like eager at the door. What can I do? How can I serve? Where can I be? Where? What is my place? Hey, let me loose. Come on. You're like at the gate. Come on. Let me do something awesome for God. Y'all better wake up in this house today. I feel like I'm just preaching. So let's read. Let's get some scripture so we won't just be hearing the same old thing. Acts 6. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there was rumbling and discontent. Now, this was just right after the day of Pentecost when he poured his spirit out on everybody. It was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God was moving like crazy. It was amazing. You'd think they were in the middle of the greatest revival ever, so they would be all fired up. But guess what? They were people. And so there was this discontent. And the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrews. Now, ain't that amazing? There was already a division. They were already deciding who's what. Speaking believers, saying their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting. Meetings. And all the other believers. And they said, the apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. Verse 3. And so the brothers selected 7 men who were respected. Everybody say respected. And full of the Spirit and wisdom. And he gave them responsibility. Then the apostles can spend their time prayer and teaching the word. Growth always creates problems. And there's nothing I love more than to have growing problems. Growth always creates a situation where there's problems that you got to work through. And look, problems are not bad. They're opportunities. I'm not afraid of problems. They give us opportunities. But when we see a problem, we should step up and do what God's called us to do, right? And so they appointed these men so that they could go serve. And here's the deal. I know that we're in the American church, so everything that's involved in ministry, sometimes we circle the wagon with this idea that you got to be on staff and you got to make this amount of money and you got to do this, blah, 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 blah. We've missed the revolution of having people involved in the kingdom of God because it's their purpose, and being a volunteer in the purpose of the kingdom of God. And when you volunteer your time and your effort, let me tell you something. We live in a day and age where people are willing to give their money but not willing to give their time. How much money do you want, Pastor? Well, I'm ready. I'll write you a check, but you ain't getting none of my time. And really, honestly, this is not a rebuke. Honestly, we've got our lives so busy that we don't have any time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. There's probably people in here right now that are working 2 or 3 jobs. We don't have any time. Our life is like in a whirlwind. Going, 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 going. And a lot of that is created because we're not fulfilling our God-given purpose. You see, when you're walking in your purpose, God multiplies that time. Now, he doesn't give you more time, but he multiplies your effort. Because now you walk in your purpose. There's so much joy comes in walking in your purpose and walking in your calling. So much joy comes when you're fulfilling what God has purposed in your life. But when you're not doing that, you're always trying to find purpose. And that purpose gets you out of sync of what you were created to do. And so this thing gets off. And we just go seeking and seeking and trying and laboring instead of just fulfilling what God's called us to do. Now, let me help you today. Oftentimes when we say, hey, man, we feel a call of God on our life, a young person, we feel a call of God on our life. Oh, yeah, well, here, let's train you to be a preacher. Well, you may not be a preacher. It's okay. It's okay. When they pulled these seven to feed the widows, they didn't say, now listen, we need seven people to feed the widows. Let's find somebody that, you know, they're not really, they're just half saved and they just, you know, they ain't doing nothing, and let's go get them to feed the widows. Nobody else wants to do it. That's not what they said. They said, let's go find us some men with integrity and full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Because if we can find some men with integrity and full of Spirit and full of wisdom, when they go to take care of the widows, there's going to be an anointing flow out of them. And it's going to be more than here. Let me give you a plate of food. It's going to be here. Let me minister to your life and to your purpose and what God has for you. And there's two places that I think have been neglected so oftentimes, not in this house, but so often and neglected. And we've just put people in the spot because they're like, you know, we just have. It's probably the babies and the old people. Let's just put them in a spot. Well, you ain't got nothing to do. You go work in the nursery. Don't go work in the nursery if you don't like kids. Please. I don't want you working in my nursery. Like, don't even go. Just don't even go in there. I remember growing up in church. We had this, they called her Nanny. That's all I remembered. I had to ask my mother and father-in-law this morning. I said, what was Nanny's name that was at our church growing up? What was Nanny's name? Sister Terry, was it? Sister Terry. I don't know her name because her name was Nanny. And listen, Nanny, don't even look at me because I'm going to say it. Nanny had seen, if you were a certain age, Nanny had seen every butt in the church. Because she had wiped all of them. Yeah. You know? And I don't ever remember going to the nursery and not seeing Nanny sitting in the nursery rocking babies. And to my best knowledge, she rocked babies till she died. The best I can remember. And I just loved her heart. And I was a little kid. And I had this memory in my mind because I was older when I went to the church. So I didn't get to show her mine. But just kidding. So I was older when I went to church. So but I always loved the fact that Nanny was in the nursery. And that changed my life, honestly. It changed my life to know that someone was that dedicated and found her purpose. And you never, no one, Nanny never was complaining about being the nursery worker. And she never was in church. Oh, don't get me started. Well, I would work the nursery, but I miss too much church. That is church. Come on, somebody. That is church. That is the kingdom of God. And you know what? You got the most precious gifts that God ever placed on this earth in your hands. Now, I'm not promoting nursery today. I'm going to say again, if you don't want to work the nursery, you don't like kids, please don't go work in the nursery. But sometimes I think nobody likes kids anymore. Because we can't get anybody to work the nursery. And so, you're holding the most precious things in the world. But how you perceive that is like, I work the nursery, man. Or I get to pray and speak over the, and listen, I'm not going to preach this today because I just heard it yesterday, but I'm going to preach this one day. I'm going to take Francis Chan's message that I heard yesterday, and I'm going to preach this one day because there's a whole lot of scripture about children and about an infant's prayer. So if you get the prized possessions of the church, how powerful could that be? What about the homeless? What about the homeless that have no family, that have no place? What about Look, somebody came to me one time and they said, hey, Pastor, you know, we have a lot of single people in this church. And we really have nothing for the singles. I said, congratulations, you just got the job. You know, see, sometimes the uncomfortable things that we find to complain about is really God making us uncomfortable so we'll fulfill our purpose. So we see it, so let's do it. But because we live in the modern day American church, what we do is like, you know, God showed me something, Pastor. He showed me we did a ministry to the orphans, and I really like for you to do that. You didn't hear a word from God for me to do it. You heard a word from God for you to do it. Okay, come on now. Why? Because you were called for purpose. Not because somebody's making you do it, not because they're like, oh, we got to do this or we're not going to be a church. As a matter of fact, here's what I say. If nobody's called to do it, let's not do it. Maybe we're not called to do it. Just because we went to a conference and they said everybody should, you know, eat peanut butter. If we don't have a peanut butter ministry, let's don't do it. If we don't have a server, maybe we're not called to do that. Just because it's somebody's good idea doesn't mean it's God's idea. Am I helping anybody today? Because God's called us to these purposes and to fulfill this destiny that he put in you for before the beginning of time. So when he calls you to do something and he equips you to do something, it's your call and it's your purpose. And the difference between an owner and a customer is the owner makes it better and the customer puts bad reviews on Yelp. You know, I can always go into a restaurant and tell if the owner's managing or if there's just somebody being paid to manage. Not all cases, because there are some good managers that take ownership, and then those are run successfully. But if they're just getting paid, and here it is, it's they close at 10, and it's 20 minutes till 10, and they have somebody standing at the door with a key. Okay, lock. We're not taking any more customers. We might have to work 30 minutes late, and we can't do that because this is about us leaving and getting home sooner. But an owner says, welcome. Come in. We got this. Oh, what do you want? Oh, yeah, we'll fire the grill back up. Yeah, we'll fix you a drink. Yeah, we'll do whatever you want to do because they care about the business. They own it. They have a responsibility to it. When you own the kingdom of God and it becomes your heartbeat, it's not about what God can do for you all the time. It's not about what somebody else can serve you, but it's about your heart saying, this is what I was created to do. This is what God made me for. And I can't wait to do it. I can't wait to do it. This is going to be awesome. You own it. A few years ago when I was a little more micromanaging and maybe a little bit legalistic, I'm not sure, but there was a cardboard roll that was outside on the driveway out there. And I'm always just about picking it up as you come in. And I saw it that day, and I was like, I'm just going to see how long that stays there. And I looked around to see if I had a pen. I was actually going to write the date on it, but I didn't have a pen. And so I just left it there. About 3 weeks later, we had staff development, and I brought it into staff development. And I said, you see this piece of cardboard? I said, y'all been walking over this piece of cardboard for weeks now. You remember that? Y'all been walking over this for weeks now. Everybody just walking over, nobody picking it up. Why? Because they come to be served. I ain't got time to pick up the trash. Now, listen, I'm not trying to rebuke anybody, so y'all lighten up a little bit. We're creatures of habit, and we've created these habits in our life that are mostly self-serving. It's like, you know, at my house, even today, but when I was growing up, Mom cooked a meal, and you better not go perch up on the couch flipping channels. There was a rule. I don't mind serving you, but pick up your own plate and put it in the dishwasher. Y'all don't believe that no more? Anybody believe in that? Does anybody still believe in that? Okay, four of y'all do. That's awesome. If you don't believe in that, you should try that. It's really awesome. And so you take ownership in the family, and guess what? It don't put all the load on one person to do. And the angel would say it like this. If y'all help me clean the kitchen, we can all sit down. Can I get some amens in the house today? Yeah. We can all sit down. When I was a kid growing up, we used to sing the song. Come here, Angela, why don't you sing a song with me? I want you to let it out. Come on. We used to sing this song in Sunday school. When we all pull together, together. Anybody know the song? You know the song? Come up here and sing a song with us. Yeah. You know the song? Okay. Who knows the song? Okay. Yeah, come on. Because, see, you can make this as big as little as you want it. Here we are. All right, here we go. When we all pull together, together, together. When we all pull together, how happy we'll be. For your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. When we all pull together, how happy we'll be. Look at y'all smiling. See how happy it made y'all? And as little and trivial as that is, it's truth. When we all pull together and do our part, it explodes the kingdom of God. You know, if we're just doing it to serve the pastor, you'll burn out soon. If you're doing it just to make sure that you get on the team so you can be seen, you'll burn out soon. But if you're doing it because you don't care if nobody sees you, it's just a passion, you'll never burn out. I've heard people say, man, I'm just kind of burnt out. Don't get me wrong. I think people get tired and you have to rest sometimes. I'm not opposed to that. You know, Jesus even took some time off and went to the mountains. You know, he needed a break from people. It's cool. Jesus did it. But when you say I'm burnt out, I'm just burnt out, man. You might want to see why you're serving. You might want to check and say, like, am I passionate about doing what I'm doing? Have I ever had a passion about doing what I'm doing? Am I doing this because someone expects me to do it? Or am I doing it because God is so good to me? He's so good to me. And there are things that we have to do in life because they're just necessary. They're necessary. You know what I mean? I don't enjoy going filling my car up with gas. I'm like, oh, yay, today I'm going to the gas station. This is going to be awesome. Woo! Hot dog! Gas station time! Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm almost empty! Fast lanes, here I come. No. But if I don't fill my car up with gas, guess what? I'm sitting on the side of the road. That ain't fun at all. There are things in ministry that's necessary, but there's passion. But what I do like to do is fill up with gas and drive fast. That's what I like to do. And for me to be able to do that, I have to fill it up with gas. Come on, that's a good word. And I do that, don't I, Jason? Jason's even pulled me over to write me a ticket before. But he didn't because he's nice. Listen, guys, in life, there are things that must be done. But if we live only out of the task of life and we lose our passion, life becomes boring and mundane. But when we're passionate about what God has called us to do and the presence of God in our life and living our life that's fulfilled in the kingdom of God, there's no stopping us. And you'll wake up thinking about it. You know, it's so crazy because I love to preach. I really do. I enjoy preaching. And today I'm really having fun. I enjoy preaching. But you know what I enjoy more than preaching? I just can't wait to sit down and get with somebody one-on-one. And that's where my real passion is. My real passion is like sitting down with somebody and just walking through life with them and pulling the gold out of them and telling them what God's created them for and living over them, speaking. Man, I just, whoo! And for some people, that's meetings. But for me, I'm walking in my anointing. And so today we have this awesome church service. We have this music and we have the lights on and it smells good in here and it's nice and clean and it's excellent. But it's because there's somebody fulfilling their purpose and their passion. And so we can't ever think that the purpose and the passion of the man preaching or the person singing or the person in the spotlight or this person, that's more important than the person that's administrating. Because I'm going to tell y'all right now, y'all would not think I was a very good pastor without Audrey. Because you know what? Today, before we started the service, she took my iPad and she typed me notes. Say this before preaching. It's like a whole book up here, right? You know why? Because if she didn't do that, I'd get up here and say, woohoo, yay, everybody. And it's like, you didn't tell anybody what we're doing next week. Administration, the gift of administration. What about the gift of encouragement? Sunshine already left today, but I just love being around her because when you walk through the door, she's back there smiling. She's like, got this big old smile. But she's contagious. The gift of encouragement that always is lifting you up and encouraging you. And you just, when you get around them, you're just like, oh man, I feel like I could run through a troop. I could leap over the wall. I could tear it because they've encouraged you. They've encouraged you. And all of these different gifts and purpose that God put in our life give us fulfillment. Fulfillment. And look, if you're called to worship, I mean, it would be good if you knew how to sing or play if you're called to worship, but if you're called to worship, you should be worshiping. You should be on the worship team. But if you bury those gifts and talents in the ground, they're just going to go to waste. God's called you to do something great. But it's no more important than the guys working in the parking lot and directing traffic. Because, like, you don't really pay attention to that guy because you come here every week. And so it's just the same guy. He's like, hey, what's up? How you doing? I know where I'm parking before I left my driveway. You don't need to tell me nothing. But for that first-time visitor that comes in the door and they're saying, hey, come here. And they're going, oh, wow, I'm being greeted. It matters. Am I making any sense today? Yeah. Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is that you was created for something amazing. Tell your neighbor that. Number one, I'm just at point one. The work of Christ and his kingdom is too big just for the leaders. Amen. And I really don't even like that statement because I think everybody leads in some way or another. But in Acts 6 and 1, but when the believers rapidly began to multiply, there was rumbling and there was disconnect and there was discontent and there was, you know, there was this problem that they needed to fulfill. But when they found the problem and they said, look, here's where some things are falling through the crack. They didn't take the apostles and pull them off of doing what they were called to do. They fulfilled the purpose of the church by doing it with excellence. Luke 10. And there was instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send workers into his field. When, you know, Bishop used to always say this, the Lord has all the money we need. The problem is it's in your pocket. We don't have a shortage of finances in the church. And then in this church, we don't even have a shortage of givers. People give well in this church. But it's not that the harvest is not right. It's that sometimes the workers are not willing to go do the work of the harvest. I used to have a guy who used to go to this church, and he's a great guy, but he would always tell me this. He'd say, I'd preach a message like this, and he'd say, every time, he'd say, Pastor, I hope our church doesn't grow. Thanks for the encouraging word, brother. I just preached my guts out. He said, because if our church grows, it won't be, you know, I just like it to be intimate. No. You like to be served. You don't have to say amen. You just say, ouch. You just like to be served. You come to the table, and then you go sit on the couch and turn the remote. But here's the deal. He's always, that person, that type of person, is always looking for the next meal. But when they learn to serve in the community, they all of a sudden something happens in their life, and they begin to see the fullness of God. Now their motivation is not we're trying to put more people in the church, but we're trying to get more people to experience the goodness of God and the glory of God. You know, it's so awesome when you meet someone and you tell them about Jesus and they get their life turned around and they end up at another church. That's just as awesome as them coming to our church. Come on, somebody say amen. Because we're not trying to expand our church. We're trying to expand the church. And so when you do that, God loves that. He loves that. He loves the diversity. He loves our differences. He loves how we do things. No one can do everything, but everybody can do something. And I don't want to be cliché-ic here, but, you know, you could say, well, I can't be Mother Teresa. Nobody called you to be Mother Teresa. Somebody called you to be who you are. And being who you are is enough. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to perform on anybody's level but the one that God called you to. And here's the deal. I'm going to say this today. I believe that when we stand before God and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, he's not saying, well done, thy good and amazing, accomplished, well-known, great singer, great preacher, great. He said, well done, thy good, faithful servant. And when he measures that, when there's going to be a measuring stick, and only he can do that, we can't measure ourselves among ourselves, he's not going to measure us by what we did great, but he's going to measure us by what we were called to do. Did you fulfill the purpose I created you for? That's where the faithful comes in. That's where the servant comes in. You did what I created you to do. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's a good word right there. You know, I need a chair. Can you bring me a chair up here, please? Nobody can fulfill your place. Nobody can fulfill your role. Just say it right there. That chair was only created for you. That place was only created for you. And when God saw you and he created you for this time and this place for that position. And here's what we can do. We can say, hey, come here, man. I know you're not called to do this. I know you don't like doing this. But here, I want you to just fulfill this job right here. Now, this guy's awesome. I don't know if y'all know him or not. But this guy right now, if I told him to stand on his head and gargle peanut butter, he'd say, pass the Jif. He's that kind of guy. He's an awesome guy. But the problem is that I can say, look, man, I need you to do this. And I want you to do this because it needs to be done. And that's not all bad. But at the same time, if I leave him in the position that he's not created for, I'm putting him in a chair that wasn't his calling. I'm putting him in a place that wasn't his calling. But if I can find his purpose, then I'm going to find his chair. Oh, come on, somebody. And somebody, so many times we're trying to just plug the holes. You know what I mean? It's like this barrel and it's leaking water. So we grab somebody and say, here, stick. I know you already got your hand on the other side of the barrel. Plug this hole. Wait a minute. Plug that hole too. Wait, can I use your foot? Plug that hole. For long, you got people like this. And they're accomplishing nothing in life. But when they get in the driver's seat of what they're supposed to do, let's just say this is his chair, all of a sudden there's energy. I'm fulfilling my destiny. It changes everything. Thank you, Ben. I want to talk about this chair for just a minute, and I'm going to quit. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. Look, I love the prophetic. There's nobody that loves the prophetic more than me. I love prophecy. I'm not going to get into all that. I just love the nine gifts of the Spirit. I love all the prophetic. But sometimes we get so caught up in the prophetic realm that everybody wants to prophesy and everybody wants to have a Shandai. But what about the practical? What about the practical? What about just doing the practical things? Like, when you see your brother in need. What about just doing the practical things? You see, everybody wants to go do all of this stuff, and this stuff gets left undone. You're called. There are people that are called to do these things that is just as important as the anybody else in the house. And I want that to come across today because I know what happens. I know in ministry we have these little divisions and we make one person lesser than the other, and that is not the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. So when he got these 12, he got these guys together. They were anointed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were powerful. They were ready to do something crazy for the kingdom of God. And God, let me tell you something. The kingdom of God looks more like a janitor's closet than anything else. So we think the kingdom of God looks like Mercedes, limousine, high rolling. The kingdom of God looks like a janitor's closet, and there's tools in there that need to be used. Amen. Well, you know, I'm called to do something amazing for God. I got this big limousine. Everybody knows who I am. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were just ordinary people. Most of the greatest men in the Bible were just ordinary people fulfilling the single purpose of life. And it created the kingdom of God to grow and expand and to enlarge. Now I'm going to quit. I'm not going to finish this. I'm going to quit. Here's what you're called to do, man. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What do you desire more than anything else? What are you hungry for? And whatever you're called to do is what you'll invest your life in. And what you invest your life in will have great return. When you plant seed in the ground, it will have a return. And it's so exciting when you see the return. Heather planted a little 4x4 garden in our yard. She planted probably, I don't know, 10 plants in it, maybe not that many. And we went out there the other day, and there was a tomato on the tomato vine. And everybody got excited. It's like, wow, look, a tomato. Now, why were we so excited about the tomato? We were excited about the tomato because we planted it, and it happened. It just happened. And we all got excited about that. Now, let me just tell you something. Papa, did you plant any corn this year? Well, you need to plant some because I love corn. I'm glad you said no because that works right into my preaching. See, I always depend on Papa to plant corn because I don't like gardens. Oh, yes, Lord. And if Papa plants corn, that is always awesome corn. And I can depend on Papa planting that corn until this year. And I can just go eat out of his garden. You see, God's called you to plant something, and only you can produce what God's calling you to plant. And yes, other people are going to benefit from it. And yes, other people are going to have it. But let me tell you something. When you start loving what you're planting and you start giving your life to that, you're going to see the fruit. It's going to make you so happy. It's going to energize you. There is nothing in the world that's going to make you happier than that. Amen. And listen, I can eat Pawpaw's corn, but it don't mean the same thing to me when Pawpaw eats his corn. Because when Pawpaw eats his corn, he put the time in. He put the effort in. He put the water on it. I'm not leaving you out, Mimi. You plant the corn too. When you plant it, you get to enjoy the fruits of it. And then guess what you get to do? You get to bring what you planted. Oh, this is the best part of this whole message right here. You get to bring what you planted, and you get to share it with others. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Such is the kingdom of God. Such is the kingdom of God. What would happen? Worship team, you can come. Or Heather, you can come. What would happen? What would happen? Just think about this. What would happen in your life, Holly, if you was living completely in your passion? What happened, Tori, if you was living completely in your passion? I watched you two a few weeks ago, a week ago, living in a passion. What happens when you're living in your passion? There's so much that comes out of you, but you're watching other people reap from it, and that reaping puts back into you. And Tori's always said this about Royal Family Kid Camp. You go pour yourself out on these foster kids, and you're thinking, I'm going to go minister to them, and you pour yourself out because it's your passion. Or you go on a mission trip, you say, oh, yeah, we're going to minister to those people in Africa. We're going to minister to those people in Mexico. We're going to go pour ourselves out. We're going to minister to them. But you know what I've always found out? I'm the one that comes back changed. Did it change your world when you go pour yourself into people's life? And then, you know what it does? It just stokes the fire. It's like pouring gasoline on the fire. Oh, it's tiring. Oh, it's weird. Yes, it's hot out here. Yes, it's a battlefield. Yes, you got your hand on the plow. Yeah, plow in the field, man. Turning over the rocks, and I'm digging it out. And you see, this sermon always can get misunderstood because you can think, well, pastor's just trying to put us to work. No, I'm not. You've got plenty of work to do. I'm trying to put you into your purpose. I'm trying to get you to live out the very calling of God upon your life. The scripture says some plant and some water, only the Father gives the increase. You know what? You know what I found out a long time ago? I can't grow this church. You know, I don't mean this wrong, but there's two kinds of people in the world when it comes to Marvin. The people who love me and the people who hate me. I just got that kind of personality. Right? That's the kind of personality. Either they really love me or they just hate me. And so many times I thought, well, I could just build this church on a personality and on strengths and on my giftings and on that. You know what? Can't. Because I can't build this church by myself. I need you, Justin. Because you got stuff I ain't got. You can tell, you can witness to people I can't ever witness to. You can share things I can't ever share. And you know what, as I found out in pastoring, and you need to hear this today, is you don't have to have all the answers. I've had people come in and ask me some theological question, and I felt this pressure, like, oh, my God, I got to answer that. Not anymore. I was like, I don't know. When's Jesus coming back? When he gets good and ready. Don't come ask me when Jesus is coming, because I don't know. Neither do you, but if you think you do, that's all right. all this pressure to do this thing. But you know what I am called to do? I'm called to look into people's life because God gave me this gift and pull the best gifts out of them. You know where I find energy? You know where I find strength? You know where I find I want to do more? It's when God puts in my heart when I'm looking at somebody and I can say, you know what? Let me help you discover who God's created you to be. And I watch the fruit of that, and they start walking in their destiny, which is why I'm having so much fun today, because I'm doing it in a group setting, is that I get to watch them walk in their gifting and their calling, and I'm like, ooh, yes, that's awesome. This is what I was planted here for. This is what God created me for. But you don't want me doing administration. You don't want me to type your letters up, I promise you. Nobody can read them. Well, I feel Jesus in this place right now. Here's what I feel in this place. I feel like God's talking to hearts. And he's speaking to somebody today. And you've been just living your life without destiny and without purpose. And because you have, your life has become very mundane. Because when you're living out of purpose, the mundane you embrace. Because there's some things in life you just do repeatedly. But when you're living your purpose and you're doing that repeatedly, it brings joy. Bow our heads. Let's pray over the distractions in our life. Only you know those things. God, remove all the distractions from my life, whatever they are. You know, sometimes our distractions are not necessarily sinful things in and of themselves. We can be too busy doing good things and not doing God things. So what is the distraction? Pray over yourself today. Because you were created for purpose. You're a life changer today. And when you step into your purpose, when you step into your calling, when you step into what God has created you to be, it may not look like ministry to somebody else, but it's ministry. And I'm going to speak to those that are in their later years of life. Don't ever come to the place that the enemy tells you that your time is done, because you're not done. Till you breathe your last breath, you're not done. I want to talk to the younger generation who says, I'm not equipped. Listen, you're equipped because God's equipped you. When Jesus came to get his disciples, he didn't equip them. He didn't call them because he needed to equip them necessarily. He called them because that was their purpose in life. And then when they stepped into that, then he equipped them. Come on. There's a holy anointing resting upon you today. There's a word from God spoken over your life. And I want to use the word hovering over your life. It's hovering over your life, this word from God. It's like he's just waiting for you to step into it. It's not complex. It's easy. It's not hard. People say, well, I don't know the will of God for my life. Yes, you do. The will of God for your life is to do what's in front of you. It's very simple. And what you're passionate about doing. And when you do it because you're passionate about it, it takes the labor of the work out of it, even though there's still work and labor. the joy comes in the labor. I feel God just speaking to hearts right now, right now, right now. Let's stand.